Hello, friends. Tillery Sims here again, and welcome back to another episode of Conservation Stories. Conservation Stories is a podcast, as you know, brought to you by the Sand Hill Area Research Association, and we are excited today because we have a great partner from the Amarillo Canyon area, Will Masters, with us, and Will is doing some really cool rehydration projects, and I would explain that what that is, but I really don't know. That's why we have Will here. Will, tell us a little bit about your background.
Cool. Yeah. So I'm Will Masters. I'm out of Amarillo, and I'm an attorney, and I practiced for very nearly 15 years now. I am not. And I don't. We have like our judicial and governance systems have huge problems, and I don't really like to practice law. A number of years ago, I was talking with some students at WT about like land use issues, environmental issues, and then also some like market kind of based approaches to dealing with those. And times were different. It was like 2022. And the students were really excited. They ended up like some of our team put together like an NFT project called Acre NFT. And we started a nonprofit entity called Ogallala Life Conservation Inc. And they raised like $250,000 nearly in just like a month. It was wild. It was like really very like kind of weird optimistic time in like crypto. Yeah. You know, we all thought we were getting rich.
Yeah.
this was, and we did, you know, there were some like really interesting, this was also like whenever carbon credit agreements were starting to make it to the panhandle.
Yeah.
And so like I had an opportunity to review some like carbon credit generation agreements with like ranchers or farmers. And so there's like this money to do things differently, you know, this opportunity, but the contracts were very poorly suited to our like local context. And we thought crypto like presented some opportunities, and sure enough it did, but not all the way we thought. So yeah, we raised a bunch of money and we kept it in like a smart contract endowment, like a crypto thing on Terra, which was a decentralized algorithmic stablecoin. And then Terra crashed, and so it's like all this money was all of a sudden worth like nothing. But the group that our smart contract endowment was on this platform called Angel Protocol, which were these like idealists that we'd met that were out of Europe somewhere maybe, and they said that they were going to try to get our money back, you know. And I was like, sure. But 6 months later, they finally got a hold of us by email and said, hey, like we can reimburse or we can compensate you for a lot of what was lost, which was crazy because it wasn't their fault. I was like super shocked.
Wow.
Yeah. And so we kind of had like this mandate, but like we were really, you know, just kind of burned almost. And so we wanted to do a project. And so this was in 2023, and I'd taken kind of a few groups to the Kritzer Ranch before. My wife's family is part of the Kritzer Ranch.
Okay.
The Kritzer Ranch is huge. It's been around since 1910. It is like just incredible. There's a number of different creeks that used to be like intermittent. And so there was always water in certain sections. There's a number of springs. They've all dried, you know, like, but it's like striking how high above the river, like there would be springs. Anyway. And so we had an opportunity to do some like landscape rehydration demonstrations on the Kritzer. And so that first year we worked for about 10 days. Well, not quite. We worked for about 7 days. We built a little over 100 like structures. And at that time, we were calling them leaky weirs. And it's like a leaky dam. So, I mean, that's all like what we're doing is we build like natural infrastructure in dryland streams.
Okay.
So like using rocks, trees, brush.
Like you're playing like your beavers?
Christmas trees. Yeah, very much so. Using
Okay.
stuff that's available. And that's like the
Okay.
primary constraint to like what we do, like where we work is where's their freaking material accessibility. You know, because this is the plains and there's not a lot to work with
Right,
sometimes.
right, right.
But in
Yeah.
some places there's a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And so
I know
like
where you
one
can
of the
get a lot of
lessons.
salt cedar. You want some salt cedar?
Yeah. So salt cedar is a tricky one. So salt cedar, we want to let it like dry out and die before we use it in the structures. And that's, yeah, like a lot of these trees, if you plant them live, they'll propagate.
Absolutely.
But yeah, like there's there sometimes there's a lot of like excess material that can be available. And so yeah, and so we did this work on the Kritzer, and then in 2023, that was when we got like a really, really wet year. There was flooding
Yes,
in Grillo,
right.
Hereford,
Yes, I remember
Canyon.
that. Right.
And so we got really accelerated feedbacks, and it was awesome. Like many of our structures, like you know, and so we built something like say like a foot and a half high, and it would back up sediment for, you know, 15, 20 feet. And so like, and that sediment is like a little sponge, you know, it just holds water. So even now, you know, it hadn't rained in months. But even now, if you go out there with a shovel, you dig in it, you know, it's going to be wet. It's
Wow.
just really like kind of a whole bunch of small things. And we were very pleased generally. Now, we had a lot of like failures too, but they were educational. You know, we learned like
Yes.
what
Right.
works, what doesn't,
Right.
what do we need to do different. And we were really excited about kind of the results and the potential. But it was really hard to kind of get the public to care. And that was really, I mean, obvious why, I guess, you know, and it's not theirs. Like they don't have access. There's like
Right.
why that is like our big problem is like why or how can our communities like engage in the landscape that surrounds us when it's owned by somebody else, you know,
Right, right.
and
You're
it's owned
right.
by like very privileged few, and even they don't have, you know, a lot of discretion because it's in like trusts and, you know, it's just a mess. So we wanted to do work in places that were publicly accessible and or visible. And that's where like Wildcat Bluff came in. And
Okay.
Wildcat Bluff Nature Center is just like a gem. It's in Northwest Amarillo. It's where the like flat uplands of the Llano meet the Canadian River breaks.
Okay.
And there are outcroppings of the Ogallala Formation on top of the Trujillo Formation on top of the Tacovis. And the Ogallala, the Trujillo, and the Tacovis are part of the High Plains Aquifer System. And so you have the Ogallala, which is the major aquifer, and then the Dhakum, which consists, like the
Yes.
Trujillo and the Tacovis are part of the Dhakum.
Oh,
And
okay.
so it's
Okay.
like we have all these rocky outcroppings that we know are permeable and porous, like they
Right.
can hold
Hold
water.
water.
And 50 and 100 years ago, like they were holding water, you know,
Right.
like this creek used to be like it was a barrier to navigation in the early 1900s and before. I mean, like there was enough water to
Right.
push wagons downstream, you know, it was like crazy hard to comprehend because now it's a dry gully
Right,
that's
right, right.
incised.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so we started working at Wildcat in 2024, and then we continued in 2025. It hadn't like 2024 was pretty wet, but it hadn't been like super wet. But we've gotten enough time, like the creeks have flowed about 10 times in the last 2 years, and we've caught a tremendous amount of water. And so we're like working on ways of, you know, like quantifying that.
Right.
And we'll be able to do it over time using remote sensing, but we're really excited again about the results. And that has been just super different in terms of like public interest. And so it's like now that people can just like go out and see it, the public really cares. And we've gotten in front, I mean, like 1,000 grade kids or something, like these elementary school kids, they go do guided hikes at Wildcat. And, you know, we get to take them to the creek and like, hey, this creek had water in it. It doesn't anymore. We're trying to, you know, kind of reverse that. And really like what we really like the reason for our work is like like hope, you know, like this like water is a symbol of hope. And is it just going to go away? Like, are we just like doomed to being poorer? You know, or can we, you know, stop this impoverishment,
That's a good
reverse
way to
it,
look
you
at
guys?
that. You know, and I what I say, Will, sometimes is we're, you know, there's we're barreling towards a brick wall at 100 miles an hour. Like, we're going to hit it at 100 miles an hour. We're going to be maybe hit it at 20. You know what I mean? And while we're there, we're making changes that makes that wall a lot smaller.
Yeah, that's it, it's really it's like shocking. But our so like the greatest like hurdle to our adaptive capacity as humans is the rule of law. we're kind of like we're locked into this framework, like this kind of medieval technology that provides, safety and stability, but also, it's like what we got. And so it's just been really, anyway, it's just been fascinating.
So you guys are you're I know that you guys have some AmeriCorps members and stuff, and so basically, in a nutshell, what you're doing is you're working at what was once a running creek at Wildcat Bluff, and you are have built these dams for backup, like a leaky dams, beaver dams, kind of out there.
That's right. We built about 80 the first year, and we made them larger and built about 20 to 30 more in 2025. And so we have approximately 100. Their average height is about, a meter. Some of them are taller than I am. And they're like, we put a few hundred Christmas trees, the cottonwood carcasses. A lot of mesquite. The mesquite out there is like there's some old mesquite that's brittle, and so you just kind of like knock it down, and so just using like these natural materials, and yeah, we'll use volunteers. So Wildcat Bluff is owned and operated by the Discovery Center, and it's the Discovery Center that has a number of AmeriCorps service members. And in fact,
Oh, okay.
I'm
Oh,
doing an
you are, that's
AmeriCorps
right. You are an AmeriCorps
service.
service. Yeah.
Yeah,
Right.
and so that one of our lessons at Wildcat was like, these places need capacity. And so
Yes.
we want Wildcat to be like a demonstration and like a bioregional learning center. But it's not enough to just like go in and do some work. And then like, if we want to show
Right.
people, we have to have somebody. And so
Somebody has to be
it was a
there.
really
Right.
great opportunity.
Yeah.
But it's way harder to, it's like harder than it should be. Yeah, just to keep these facilities operational and,
Yes,
have humans
exactly.
there. It's just,
Yes. This is very true. I
but
mean,
it's been
it,
a week.
yeah. And I want to, that's one of the things I love about AmeriCorps, and WT is just such a shining example of what a university can do to really get back to a community. I'm like, I really do appreciate and really value what they're doing. I think it's really amazing. So, why? What does it actually do? What's the purpose of this
That's the
rehydration?
short of answer is like hope. But the outcomes that we expect are cooler temperatures in the summer, warmer temperatures in the winter, reduced flooding, wetter during dry times, or slower to dry out, or perhaps never dry out. In water budget terms, we want to minimize runoff and reduce evaporation. And so we do that by like increasing storage capacity and then also, percolation downwards
Right,
and or
right,
sides into the bank. And so
right.
like, there's a bunch of different analogies, but we like kind of whenever there is excess water, we want to bank it so that's available whenever there's not excess, whenever we're
Right, right,
dry. And
right.
yet Wildcat presents a really good opportunity to do that. It's just frustrating because we go long times without rains.
We go without
And
rains,
so,
right?
yeah. And so we kind of have to ask these people, like if you want to go out there and see what we're doing, you have to use your imagination. I mean, like there's results to see, but like it's still, and so we've been looking for like projects for this year. We also worked at Mission Ranch, which is on East Amarillo Creek. We built about a dozen kind of these structures along, East Amarillo Creek, and that's below Thompson Park, and it also has perennial flow. It was awesome. We got really kind of unlucky with the timing, and so about a month after we worked out there, the city got its first kind of big rainstorm, and Amarillo pumps the Playas to the south. Some of them they pump north into Thompson Park and then release that, and so there's these like really severe kind of stormwater pulses
Pulses.
that go north, and yeah, so we didn't. They didn't have an opportunity to like the point is we build a sponge, the sponge grows vegetation, and the vegetation holds everything together.
Oh, gotcha,
But our
gotcha,
work,
gotcha.
Mission Ranch, kind of didn't have that opportunity, and that happens. But it's also kind of like we didn't want to put a bunch more resources there
Right.
because of that risk. And so we were looking
Right.
for other places to work. And Borger, there it has this place called Johnson Park. And Johnson Park is approximately 200 acres on the southwest corner of Borger. And it is on, like, it's on the south side of the Canadian River Valley. And there are these canyons, and the sides of the canyons are the Permian red beds, kind of exposed by erosion. And the Permian red beds are generally the impermeable bedrock that underlies the High Plains aquifer system. And so the aquifer sits on top of the Permian red beds and sometimes kind of goes in it a little bit. And there's a little bit of exchange, but not
Not
much.
much.
And then up in like the like where Borger is, like the high parts of Borger is remnant Ogallala. And so there's this kind of like little point where we have this kind of alluvium and sand and silt that holds water. And there is still natural discharge from the base of the aquifer down these canyons. And this is part of Rock Creek. And so here at Johnson Park, there's perennial water. There's a bunch of structure to work with. It's just, we're really excited. It's a really good demonstration site. We're a bit constrained. Like, if we're going to do work for purposes of proving recharge, we want to work higher up in the landscape, like outside of Hereford pre would present a good example, for example, because because there's room for the water to go down. Here, there's not so much room for the water to go down, but there is for the water to go sideways. And
Interesting.
yeah, and so it's just like so this year we're doing our demonstration project work here at Johnson Park and Rock Creek, and I'll go outside now and we can go look at it a little bit.
That sounds great. So you're talking about like the elevation difference is what you're when you say higher, you're like Hereford, you would want to do something at Hereford because
Yeah,
of that.
so here we're at like the edge, like we're on the margins of the High Plains aquifer system. Hereford, you're up above the
Okay,
aquifer
gotcha.
system. And so yeah, like the higher up in the landscape, yeah, there's a lot more storage in the downward direction. And so like here it's just like this watershed sits on top of the Permian. And so it can't really, like
There's
that's
just,
why
there's
there's
just
water
not
here,
much.
is because it can't go
I'm
down.
understanding now. Great.
Yeah, and so in this place is called Rock Creek, and that's because like the water that's from the base of the aquifer system, it encounters this the quartermaster layer. It's this like white dolomitic limestone layer that is generally impermeable, and there's all these like big white rocks, and it's super cool. So I'll walk you down. This is, yeah, the border. There's like the convention center over there. Swimming pool. And then there's a disc golf course down here.
This
So
looks
it's
like the
just,
park in my hometown.
yeah, there's places like this all over the
All over.
panhandle. Yeah. And so that's like really, I think the point of our work is like we should be proud of these places and care for them, you know. And there are watersheds here. And because they're so scarce, like they should be all important. And so yeah, we're trying to kind of highlight that. Yeah, so there, can you? I don't know if my camera gets good reception, but you can kind of see the creek. It's a disc golf course, and we have a lot of invasive elms. There's a few cottonwood further down, but mostly invasive elm. And then you had like a lot of infrastructure. I mean, here the substrate really is like concrete. But there's a big elm, and we knocked that wood down and kind of built. You can kind of see, so like that's an example, and it's just like really small. Here's a better organized example. Yeah, so it's just like a little beaver dam. Yeah.
And it just slows the water down just enough to let it sit there and
That's right. Just a bunch of small changes instead of like, you know, one big change. Yeah, and just like that water, if it's not moving, you know, it can soak into the sides. And also, like the point of this, we don't want to detain the water. We want to retain it, slow it down. We do want to detain the sediments. And so all this wooden stuff, it's really lightweight. And if it floods, you know, a few feet, it's going to float up and go away. But if this is allowed to mature a little bit, There's going to be some sediments carried from downstream, and pretty soon those juniper are going to be
Okay.
all clogged up with like sand and
Right.
silt and clay.
Right.
And
That's going to weigh
so
it
as soon
down.
as exactly, and then that kind
Okay.
of holds it in place. And so it just kind of slowly builds up the channel floor. And we want to
Interesting.
build it up so that it can kind of interact, with that area over there. And so just kind of in a few years, we hope it resembles kind of like a chain of wetlands, that kind of create a corridor,
Right.
and that is capable of soaking in a lot of the flood water that we get because of the developed surfaces upstream. And the hydrograph here is exaggerated, and so where we have developed surfaces like a plowed field or I mean, plowed field, like to a lesser extent, but even so, or like a parking lot,
Right.
the drainage below, you're going to have a really steep hydrograph. And so it'll rain. It's going to, like, the water's going to rise really fast and it's going to come down really fast.
Right.
Where you have
Right.
undeveloped catchments, or like a healthier floodplain, it might rise a little bit, but it just takes a lot. Just it rises slower and it goes down slower. And so that regulation function is what we hope to recover. And so it's like we talk about like watershed health, like, can the watershed function like a healthy watershed can, or is it incised and have degraded function where, it rains and it floods and then it goes away?
So, you know,
And so, yeah, it,
in some sense,
please.
it feels like what you guys are doing is really similar to, you know, ply restoration. It's like here's where nature intended for the aquifer to be recharged. And, you know, our lack of understanding, we didn't protect those areas. And so now they don't function for recharge. And so going in and restoring that, you know, you've got these same kind of goals. It's like, how do we make sure that this we're using the best use of when we do get rain, we're not wasting an inch of it, the water we keep.
Yeah, I'm really glad you said that. Yeah, because like, and so like, the term, I think should include like playas and, our drainages, and also like your roofs. Like, there's just there. I mean, anywhere we can, yeah, capture stormwater, rainwater, and soak it into the ground, we should. We don't because we like kind of imported this legal framework from Europe, like we kind of have this, and that's not even entirely true. We just like have developed this legal code or the system where, so like the state floodplain or water plan, for example. So we have like a water supply planning process, and that meets every 5 years, and there's a new draft every 5 years. And then there's a flood planning process, and it goes every 5 years, but they're on different years. And so the groups don't talk to each other. It's like a like we have one group charged with obtaining water security, or like making sure there's available water, and another group charged with removing the water from the landscape as fast as possible.
Oh
And
goodness, I'd
that's
never
what
thought
we've
about that, but
encountered.
right.
It's like it's the same water, like that
Right.
disconnection, that like severance of interest is the problem. Yeah, it's
That's
hard and
really interesting. And
complicated, but yeah,
actually,
we're really excited about it.
it's really interesting. And I'd love to, you know, we have a lot of of course, you know, kind of like every county, we've got what we call draws. And I don't know if people will know what those are. And I don't even know if there's a better word to call it besides a draw. But that's what, you know, generally we call it. So like my brother's got
Watershed.
that's what I've wondered. Isn't that what they are? They're
Yeah,
just a
absolutely.
watershed?
It's a yeah, it's a yeah. Yeah. It's an ephemeral watershed. And so it is, it's not wet often. But it is every once in a while. Yeah.
So this one in particular, my mother was telling me, I mean, she remembers that there were times when they were actually, it would have water in it and fish would appear.
That's
Isn't
so
that
cool.
something? Yeah. And
Yeah,
I'll tell
it's
you, and
wild too, yeah.
someone from my hometown told me that they had taken some Playa Lake dirt and put it in a bucket, a clear, like 1 gallon jug, 1 gallon jug, not a bucket, a 1 gallon jug, and like just put, you know, some of it, layer of it, and then they filled it with water, and all these plants grew up. And we're talking about, well, we're not talking about a ton of dirt, right? We're just talking about this layer of dirt. And all these plants grew up. And she said, one day I looked over there and something was swimming, and it was a lizard, which I'm sure was a salamander,
Oh, that's
probably.
wild.
Isn't that amazing?
That is wild. It is crazy how it'll be like just a flat, dry, hostile, upland for
Right.
years, and then there'll be a puddle for a few months, and then all of a sudden, yeah, there's frogs and fish and turtles, and it is wild.
It is
Yeah,
amazing.
and that's something like watching the drought of 2012 or whatever
Yes.
was like really, I think, kind of like another formative, experience, because it was just depressing. Like, this country was like dry. Meredith,
Yes.
was basically gone.
Yes. Yes.
Cremlaugh and Amarillo had to, spend hundreds of millions of dollars to like buy groundwater rights from a billionaire.
Yeah.
It was a tough time. But then we had 2 wet years, and it's just like, hey, like here's like, abundant life again.
Right. Right.
But then we had dry years again, and it's because like whenever we do get water, it just it the another way, like the objective of our work is to like reverse the rapid drainage of water from the landscape.
Yeah. Right, because that part of that water cycle too is, I mean, part of it, having, and I know they've proven this in other places, and particularly in Africa, where you catch and hold on to some of that water, you leave it there, and it does help increase, evapotranspiration, which helps it rain.
Like vegetation cover,
Right.
like the
Right.
cycling is
Increases that
good.
whole, right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
yeah, I think that's interesting. And I think it's so easy for us to think that we have to, if someone is not working on the silver bullet that's going to fix it, that there's no value in the small things that we can do that add up. That there is value in, I think of it like I homeschooled my kids, and I can remember when, kind of dawned on me, it was like you feel like you're wasting your time because you're like, spending, at least this little bit of time, every day doing something, and then suddenly the bucket is full. Suddenly they have learned their multiplication tables. Suddenly they know how to read because you've done the little tiny, boring, seemingly unimportant things that have actually filled the bucket eventually. And so I think it's easy to judge people and
It's really
look at,
hard to
say,
predict too.
yes, yeah, it is, because you're doing things that you I mean, there's like plenty of data to show that these things have value. But it has to rain, and so you still are, you have to charge ahead and continue to do what you're doing, because we hear that a lot about the playas, like, well, there's no, I mean, those are like 500 years. Well, does 500 years matter or not? Does 100 years matter? Like, so it's not, if it's not going to impact me in a positive manner right now, then I don't want to invest in, and I just don't think that's part of like who we would say that we are, like who that we would say we are is that we, believe and we care for others. And I think that includes people that are yet unborn, the people that are coming, behind us, that we have a responsibility to leave something for them.
Yeah, I agree. And like this really like became, I don't know, like a passion. Like whenever I had kids, I just I'm struggling. Like I'm kind of stuck here. I'm blessed with family. That's, and like I am blessed with family. I've got deep ties to this place. And I don't want like my child's life to be like this place. But yeah, it's just the hope aspect. Really just want to emphasize, like there is like, yeah, we can make things worse, we can make them better. And the little things like that just really resonates to me, because Like I think like that, like the vision of like a water secure panhandle is like, 100,000 different little things.
Yes.
It's something that happens that's distributed across the landscape. And
Mm-hmm.
it's not, a big old pipeline that delivers water from, the Mississippi.
Well, I know one of the things that's really stuck with me, Robert Mace, asked him, I said, how, what's the thing that we can do? And he's like, it's not one, it's like a buckshot. He said, you don't need the silver bullet, you like gold buckshot, where you're doing all these small, valuable things. And I think it's just we live in a world where we feel like that problems are simple, but they're really complex, and we have to find ways to deal with complex problems. And generally, it's multiple layered solutions, and finding I think that's also, that everyone is gifted in different ways. And I think that shows how, as a people group, we can take the things that we are good at, the gifts that we've been given, and invest those in ways collectively that are those small drops along the way that help fill the bucket.
So like we've got like a team down there in the canyon, and I really make I want to go down and show them to you, 'cause yeah, like it's a bunch of like we each kind of had like this random story of how like we ended up here, but it's great. Like so there's I call him a kid. He's a young man at a canyon named Donovan, and we met him whenever he was a WT student, and he's like doing like creek restoration work professionally now. So during his off season, he goes to work with Anna Branch, or I guess like during our off season. So like during the summer and early fall, he's been working in like northern New Mexico, Utah, California, on some like federally funded projects. And it's just
Interesting.
been great, like for us, because he goes and he learns a bunch, and then he brings it back here. Of course, the challenge we have, and I say we like collectively, like all of us, is like, what are the appropriate like applications here? We had these like kind of a unique context where like the Southern High Plains are disconnected from snow melt. It's kind of monsoonal. There is tremendous like agriculture. It's like 90%+ of certain uplands are farmed. We just have a unique, environment. But this is like the type of work that we're doing, like landscape rehydration, I think is like proven, it's like demonstrated in many different parts of the world. And so, yeah, what does that look like here?
Here,
And
right. That's so true, because I know you've seen the African, the smiles that they dig those little ditches, really, to where they hold the water, and that's how they've rehydrated some landscape there. And I think that's so true. It's like it's solutions have to be, place based, but you don't necessarily have to start from scratch. You take what other people have learned and figure out how to apply it to your area.
That's awesome. And in fact, that reminds me of something. So Ogallala Life, we started a lot like 4 years ago or something, is going great. And running an independent nonprofit is really sinking hard. And there's all these awesome people like at Ogallala Commons and Discovery Center and elsewhere that like want to support our work. And so Ogallala Life kind of ceased its existence as an independent nonprofit and is now a part of Ogallala Commons.
Oh,
And
okay.
it's,
Okay.
Yeah, and so then that's been great. That
That's
like
good.
OC has just
Yes.
been
They're
huge in helping
wonderful.
us get the word out there. Yeah, like a much larger network. They've done this like Playa course, and they have asked me to put together like a similar landscape rehydration high plains.
Uh-oh, we're
Yeah,
losing you.
and oh man, I'll keep going higher.
There we go.
That's the goal, is to
Okay. Yeah.
like.
So what you're saying was, I think people might not have heard it, but that Ogallala Commons has basically a training program on their website now. So you can get trained in Playa Lake restoration. And you're wanting to do the same thing with this whole rehydration on these watersheds.
Excellent. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah,
That's
and we
great.
do that in part by like talking about local context, but then also looking at other places around the world that have climate, like landscape or even cultural similarities. And so, yeah, like see what works elsewhere, and then, where might we want to try what here in the High Plains?
Excellent. That's great. That is wonderful. Well, Will, this has been super, this has been really interesting. And I'd love for you to, at some point come down to where we are. And we're doing some work now in my home county of Terry. And I'd love to, we've got, several of these watersheds that we have access to, and we'd love to figure out, something that might be helpful for when it does
Awesome. I want to
rain.
come visit for sure. And it will rain. It
It
gets
will
really
rain.
like frustrating. And
Yes. It
it'll be
will rain.
charged.
Yes, it will rain. It will rain again. Well, thank you so much. We'll put all the information for Wildcat Bluff and et cetera in the show notes so people can go there. And also to we'll also connect a link to the Ogallala Commons so that people can see that Playa Lake course, because I think that's something that would be awesome for people to really take part in. So, Will, this has been really interesting, and people can come to Wildcat Bluff and to the Wildlife Center there. They have a center, and I've never
So
been,
Wildcat
but so
Bluff
many
is a
people I
nature
know have.
center.
Okay.
So it's like 750 acres, like trail. And then our next door neighbor is this animal center,
Okay, that's what it
Wild
is.
West Animal Rehab. But
Okay.
it is really cool.
Yes.
They do tours and they've got like a lot of it is worth a stop. Yeah.
Awesome.
It's really neat for
Awesome.
like kids doing like nature education.
Okay.
Because we can do a guided hike and then they can go over and actually like see some
Oh,
prairie dogs
yeah.
and whatnot.
Right. Awesome. Okay, great. Well, we'll talk to you
Thank
soon.
you.
I appreciate it.
Sorry
Thank
about
you,
my
Will.
technical difficulties. I
No
appreciate it.
problem. Thanks. Thank you so
Bye.
much. Bye. And friends, thank you for joining us for another episode. I hope that you enjoyed meeting Will and learning a little bit about the work that he's doing out there. If you're ever in Amarillo or want to do something with your kiddos, it sounds like a great place to take them. And I look forward to having you back in for another episode of Conservation Stories.